Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I want to continue talking tonight about the soul and about the spirit and how we need to flip the switch to, If we don't learn to flip that switch, sometimes that's why we are hindered in our walk or in our calling or in our purpose. And so you know that the Bible talks about the old man and the new man. So I want to read a scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, what we see is that your spirit is made new. It's a brand new, it's the real you from heaven, if you can dare to believe it. You know, in the Psalms, it talks about that words were written about you before you were ever born. So there were documents about you in heaven before you ever entered your body. That's what the Psalms say. And so this is kind of interesting because that means that God had ordained some things about you. And so, but the problem is when we come into our earth and earth body and we live in the earth, sometimes over the course of living life on earth, things happen that may be negative or difficult. Sometimes we're labeled with an identity that doesn't match our identity from heaven. And what I discovered is when I was able to make the switch from seeing myself as I used to, into seeing myself as God ordained me to be, that is one of the things that enabled me to begin to move out in faith and confidence. Because how could we be confident if we're busy watching our fleshy, the old man? The Bible says we're to reckon the old man dead, but most people actually don't. Most people are still kind of struggling with the old man, which is just your flesh. It's just another word for your flesh. And they're struggling with behaviors and patterns and temptations, good days, bad days, instead of understanding who they are on the inside. And you say, oh, Holly, you've talked about this so much. Well, the reason is I've discovered that as much as I've talked about it, there are some people who hear it and say amen, but haven't been able to make that switch. For me, it took some time. It wasn't an instant thing, but I'm going to share some things that I think will help a little bit. So in Romans 6:4, it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. So the whole idea is, if you are able to disassociate from how you've thought about yourself, your flesh, your abilities, your inabilities, your goods and bads, and all the labels, can I just say, all the labels people may have stuck you with, right? Most of us somewhere in life, and some people a lot, have had to be labeled by other people. Sometimes parents, you know, they don't mean to, but they may label you. Your teachers may have labeled you. Friends may have teased you about certain things. But the most dangerous one of all is when we label ourselves in a way that doesn't line up with what God says. And so our soul begins to believe all these labels, begins to believe what we have said. And so we struggle to walk in faith, but deep down we think, but, you know, yes, that God's word says that, but I have this problem, or whatever the label might be. So we're going to do a fun exercise. Hopefully it'll be fun. But this is actually a legal act that I want you to do with me. If you've ever carried labels that don't line up with what God says about you, some of them are probably rising up right now in your thinking. Some people have been called stupid, but the Bible says that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So you have the mind of Christ. So once you're born again, guess what? You ain't stupid anymore. You probably never were. Sometimes those labels weren't even true to begin with. Some people were called slow. Some people were called maybe clumsy. You know, even by a parent who, you know, just didn't know how to control their mouth. God bless them. We love our parents, but sometimes they say things wrong. Maybe you were told you're not enough. Maybe you were the party girl or the party boy, the one who always makes trouble, the one that will turn out wrong, not good looking enough, blah, 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 blah. And there's all these labels. And again, the very worst type of label is when you label yourself, or when you say or mutter, let's say you have a bad day, and I think we've probably all done it. I know I've accidentally done it, and I've had to repent of it. Let's say you have a bad day, or you make a mistake, and you say, you know, even under your breath, that was stupid, or that was, oh, what a dumb, you know, thing, you know. And you might even say, I'm so, you know, blank, dumb, or whatever the word, whatever the label is. And the problem with our words is the one person that believes those words is us. Our emotions hear our words, and they believe us, because your emotions were designed to follow your lead, right? So we have to be very careful what we say about ourselves, what we say about anybody, because it's a word curse is what it is. And so I want you to think about, were there ever labels that were put on you that may not line up with what God has said about you? And you might be saying, well, how do I know what God has said? Well, first of all the Word of God that is written about every born-again person, all of that applies to you. So you can know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You have the mind of Christ, right? You house the glory. You're the house of God. There's all kinds of amazing things said about you, that God loves you. You're the object of His love. You're His child. You're born of God, right? You're born of God. If you're born again, that is an amazing thing. I don't know if our mind really gets what that means, to be born of God. That means the Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, is your dad. You know, if you could really grasp that, you wouldn't be afraid of people or what they think or what their opinion is, or if you've, you know, been pleasing to that. Man-pleasing spirit is such a farce. You know, Jesus was perfect in every way, and people still weren't pleased with Him. They still found fault with Him. They still accused Him, maligned Him, lied about Him, tried to kill Him, and He was absolutely perfect. So I think it's a big mistake for us to expect people to always like us or always approve or feel badly if they don't. You know, people are people. And as I say, Jesus was perfect and they behaved that way. So it shouldn't be our problem if somebody doesn't like us. And once we follow Jesus, there'll be some people who won't automatically just because we follow Jesus, because they may have a wrong idea about Jesus. And so it's really great to become whole in this area and really get to know who you are in God. Because once you get that, faith is much, much easier. Confidence is so, so easy, because then you know who you are. You know, I remember Edgar saying a year or two before he passed away, and he, you know, Edgar had that big booming voice, and I remember him saying, I know who I am. And he wasn't speaking pridefully, but what I saw was he'd had some encounters with the living God. And in those encounters, God had made it clear to him who he was in God and what he was here to do in this earth. And it caused him to be able to move in an amazing level of faith and confidence, because he knew God was with him. He knew if he prayed, God would see to it. They were that close. They had that type of relationship. Now, believe this or not, God wants that same thing with you. God wants that same thing with all of us. And the issue is that we need to come so close to him that we come to understand who we are in the spirit, who he ordained us to be before, you know, really before we were even born. So that's an amazing thing. So we're just going to do a little exercise. This won't take long. But what I discovered is that there is a legality in the spirit. I'm not talking about earth law, and I'm not talking about the law of the Old Testament. But I'm talking about that there's laws by which things operate in heaven and in the spirit realm, okay? Just like gravity's a law on the earth. There are laws by which things work or do not work in the realm of the spirit. And quite often, the older I get, the more I see that when things don't work, when we really thought they should have, it is because there's a reason that something is out of line spiritually. And it may not be what we think. It may not be at all what we think. And so sometimes we're hunting in the wrong corner. Or we're thinking, well, maybe God didn't want that. Well, maybe he did, but there's something out of order, okay? And so for me, when I began to discover this, God began to teach me simple methods of making legal proclamations to reverse some of the word curses, for example. So word curses, some people grew up, I've known people personally who grew up in a home where they were really seriously disrespected, you know, because some, for whatever reason, you know, broken people don't always make very good parents. We love and respect our parents, okay, I want to be clear about that, but sometimes our parents were broken and didn't know. Some people had got pregnant and didn't have the first idea how to raise a child or how to encourage a kid, how to, what to say and not say to a child, right? And so I've known people who were actually sort of verbally abused by their parents and told they were slow or stupid or destined for failure, don't amount to anything, will never amount to anything. And that is just, don't ever say that stuff to your child. I don't care what they've done. It's okay to discipline. Discipline's a good thing. But the reason is children believe their parents more than they believe anybody else. And if you tell them that they are a failure or foolish or stupid, they will believe you even after you've gone on home when they're 40, 50, 60 years old. Unless they get delivered from that, they will believe that deep down in their soul and it will screw up their life. So we have to be very careful what we say to each other, what we say about ourselves, and what we say to our kids. So as I started to say, I've known a number of people who grew up with actual labeling from their parents of, in many different ways, being not enough. And so I learned from the Lord that's like a almost like a word curse. I'm going to give you an example. You may have heard me talk about this, or you may have heard Robert Henderson talk about this, but it impressed me very greatly when he talked about going before the Lord. He was trying to pray for his son, and his son had some trouble, serious trouble, and he'd been praying every way he knew to pray, and I think this is such a great example. And his son it wasn't helping. It wasn't getting anywhere. He said he bound and loosed and opened and shut and did everything he knew to do. And nothing was working. And so the Lord spoke to him one night and said, Robert, I want you to repent of your words about your son. And he said, but I'm very careful to speak positive words to my son all the time. And the Lord said, I'm not talking about those words. He said, I'm talking about the words you say about your son when you're alone with your wife. And Robert kind of stepped back. And then the Lord said this, now listen carefully. He said, Satan comes before me in the court and says, even his own father says this about him, which gave Satan a legal right to harm the son. And so Robert repented of those words. He broke them legally before the Lord, and then he spoke the father's blessing over his son, and his son literally was set free that night, and I've actually heard his son testify of the freedom that came from that. So words are extremely important, your words, other people's words. But the great news is God has given us authority. You have a higher authority over your own life and body than anyone else. If you can get your spouse in agreement, they hold a great authority too. If your father is still living and you can get him to bless you, get him to bless you. But even if you're, like my father, before I learned all this stuff, my father had gone on, he had passed away. And so, but you know what? The Father, the Heavenly Father's my Father, and I have his blessing. And here's something good. If you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When I saw that, you know, I knew the scripture, I had it memorized, I knew it was important. But one day I saw it and I saw what it really said in actuality. It said you are Abraham's seed, his kid, not grafted in, not just grafted in. If you be Christ's, you're Abraham's seed. I said, that's my dad. The blessing of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles, the Bible says. I wasn't born a Jewish person, but I was grafted in, and if I be Christ, I'm Abraham's daughter, and I get the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of the Father, right? So there are legal things you can do. So I want to do this. We're going to do a little legal thing. First of all, I would have you just say after me, Father, in the name of Jesus, say it, Father, in the name of Jesus, if any word has been spoken over me, about me, to me, or even by me, that doesn't line up with the word and the will of God, I pour the blood of Jesus on it, and I revoke it. I cause it to be null, void, powerless, and ineffective. Are you saying this? You're supposed to be saying this. Don't be writing me. Be saying this. In the name of Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to have us do a little exercise. I want you to think for a minute of any label or labels or phrases that were said about you. You know, when you were young or when you were older, co-workers, anybody, any word or phrase that was used kind of illegally against you to make you feel like less, okay? So I'm just going to use this one as an example. This may not be the one you were saddled with, but this is one I hear a lot. So I'm going to do this. Here's a label that we're going to pretend this is your label. This is an example, but you're going to put your label as we do. We're going to do a confession, okay? I know this is a little different, but I'm telling you, this will make a huge difference if you learn how to do the process. This will make a big difference. So we're going to take whatever your labels, if there's one or more, right? I'm going to have you say, now why am I making you say it out loud? Because words are the currency of faith. Words are the currency of heaven. Words are how we are cursed. Words are how we are blessed, right? And so when a word has been spoken or a label has been spoken over us and we believed it or accepted it, as maybe even you were 3, 4 years old, 5 years old, and somebody said something and you maybe took it on, right? So let's just pretend that this was your label, but we're gonna do a legal proclamation, okay? And I'll take you through it, but what we're gonna do is say, okay, here was a label that a person was labeled with. The first thing I'm gonna do is declare before you, Lord, that it was a lie. And if you believe that, what you're going to do is renounce. I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to have you renounce that lie of the labels that are not true. And we know they're not true. For example, this one, we know this is not true. You know how we know? Because the Bible says, if you're born again, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. This, therefore, makes you brilliant. Not slow. Get it? So if you were accused of whatever the label is, whatever you were labeled with, or whatever you labeled yourself with, we're going to trade that in tonight, and I want you to learn the process, and I want you to get good at it. I want you to do it all the time. Anytime somebody tries to stick something on you, or even the enemy tries to come to you and say, oh, you're just always going to be an addict. Nope. You're going to lift that act. I don't have that written out, but you're going to say, the devil has said this. It is a lie. I renounce that lie, and I accept the truth which says I am forever free. So what are you doing? Legally, you're slamming the door on the enemy's kingdom and his lie, and all the lies he ever told you about that one thing. You're now opening the door to God's blessing on your life and releasing freedom in that area. And here's the great news. I started doing this. I didn't understand all the legality of it for years, but I was using it to help people get free and help myself get free. And what I saw is, as I was careful to remove the legal claims that the enemy had on me because of these false belief systems, as I was careful to rescind his legal right, couple things happened. One is he got less and less access to me. It became very hard for him to get a hold of me or to attack me. It became very hard for him because there was very little for him to hold on to. As we said in the earlier parts of this little series on the soul, Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. There wasn't anything Satan could get to. There wasn't anything Satan could attach to, right? Because Jesus had no lie in him. He was pure, perfect, and full of truth. so Satan couldn't get to him. And that's our goal, is to have our soul cleansed of any hook so Satan can't get at us, amen, legally. So that's one thing that happened. And the second thing that happened was I was able to begin to walk in great confidence and know that God was with me. Not because of my works of the flesh or anything I did right, but because I now understood who I was as God's child, my true identity. I'm going to go back to the scripture I started with. I started with the scripture, if any man be in Christ, this is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the problem is we've housed a new creature, right? We've walked around with this newborn again spirit, but we haven't fed and watered it. We haven't focused on it. We haven't even understood who the real you really is. And so I like to say, will the real you please stand up, the whole you, the complete you, the one that is like Jesus. Well, who is that? It's your born again spirit. That's your real identity. That is the true you. And so the reason I preach so hard on this and so often on this is God wants the real you to be able to come forth. And as this happens, as you legally break the devil's rights to your belief systems, right, he loses access to your confidence, your faith, and your purpose and your calling. And what you'll see is it'll be easier and easier to begin to move in the thing you were born to do. It gets very easy because now you finally get who you are, that you have God's stamp of approval, not because of your great works, but because you're his kid, you're born of God, you're his very own. And no devil can steal that from you once you know it. No devil can steal that from you once you know it. So I'm going to bring you back around now here, and I'm going to say, we're going to do another proclamation. So don't just look at me and go, oh, that's good. You know, I want you to say it. I want you to say it out loud. And if somebody else in the room, say it quietly under your breath, but say it. And the reason is, it needs to be spoken out loud because you're going to legally break the lie and the labels, and you're going to trade them in for what God has said about you. Now, we could have hundreds of these, right? This is just an example of a label, but you think of what labels maybe were stuck on you. Were you called clumsy? Were you called poor in math? You know, God is a genius in math. You know that there are subjects I wasn't good at in school, but when I became saved and I found out I had to do certain things for my job, I said, I don't know how to do this, but God does. And I have the mind of Christ, so I just need to lean into him and he will help me. And God actually caused me to look brilliant at work, and they thought I was really good at that, and I wasn't in the natural. You see, it's a different sort of life, but God wants you to live on this earth as a brand new creation who looks just like Jesus, walks in the love and the power of Jesus, walks in his compassion and his kindness, walks in the Spirit the way Jesus did. That's God's desire for all of us, every born-again child, right? Some of you have been hanging back in a dark corner too long, and God is saying you need to get to know who you really are. You haven't understood who you really are, and because you haven't, Satan's been robbing you blind. And some people sit around and whine about what everybody said. Don't worry about that. It happens to everybody. You're no great exception. All of us have been abused. Everybody's been abused. Everybody's been naysayed. You know, everybody's been spoken evil of. Everybody. Don't worry about that. And don't worry about how you feel towards that person or what they did to you, boo-hoo. That's entitlement. Dump it. Just dump it. It happens to everybody. It happened to Jesus. And he said if they did it to the master, they will do it to the students. So that's not the point. The point is you don't have to stay in it. You can choose. And if you may discover as you walk out of this session, God may start to raise things up as you're going through your days this week. Something may start to bubble up and you go, you know, I think I believed a lie that I couldn't do such and so. And oh, wait, the Bible says I can. Will you do the same type of proclamation for that? And you put the right words in, but the proclamation is basically this same format we're going to do. So when I hold up this word, you put in whatever your label or labels are. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do it. Please just do it. Even if you don't believe me, just do it. You'll see. how powerful this is. I've done this with people on the phone and felt huge burdens roll off of their life. I've seen people delivered from demonic strongholds when they did one legal proclamation. And you know why? Because Satan was holding on to a hook, which was a lie they had believed. And once I got them to do a legal proclamation and release that hook or that lie, the devil had nothing to hold on to. And oh, he had to go. And you could see it go. Well, the first time I was with somebody over at our office, and we were right in the middle of a proclamation. I had her repenting of a lie she'd believed and accepting the truth of God. And right in the middle of it, I looked, and in her belly, I saw a black cloud, and I knew it was the demonic force that had been tormenting her. We got done with that proclamation, and I said quietly, "You have nothing to hold on to. You have to go." Just in that tone of voice, and the thing went, phew. See, he had nothing to hold on to because she had rescinded his right. So we're going to do that, okay? So I mean, you're going to have to be innovative because you're going to have to use your label where I'm putting this one as an example. So we're going to say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I may have believed a lie that said I was slow or I was unable." Whatever the label that was put on you, I want you to say, "Father, if I've ever believed that in my soul," I want you to say this, "I'm sorry. I repent. Please forgive me for believing a lie. I'm renouncing it for what it is. It is a lie. From this day, Father, I'm going to accept the truth of God, the Word of God, that says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm loved by God. I have the mind of Christ." And whatever the antidote is for your label, if you were called slow, now you're brilliant. Or whatever your antidote is. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you said that concerning your label and you switched with God's label for you, which is loved by God, a child of the King, made in the image of Christ, righteous and holy. How many of you have believed you are unholy and unrighteous? That's a lie from the pit. The Bible says you were made righteous. Yeah, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness. When did we become the righteousness of God? When we were born again. We took the new self on, which the Bible says was created after the image of his holiness. So you are going to change your mind. You're going to transform your thinking, and you're going to stop thinking about all your shortcomings. You're going to begin to see, I am the house of the Lord. This body's just a house for a born-again spirit that looks like Jesus. And I'm going to learn how to love that identity. That's my real identity. And I'm going to learn how to manifest that true identity like Jesus did. And therefore, I'll be able to manifest Jesus in the earth. Okay? When you get in the habit of seeing the lies you've believed, renouncing them out loud, and embracing the truth, you must do both. Renounce the lie and out loud embrace the truth of what God says about you. There's thousands of scriptures that talk about who you really are. And it's the enemy that's trying to get you to disbelieve those. It's the only hope he's got. It's the only chance he's got of keeping you from walking in the glory of God or walking in the fullness of your purpose. Why does he try so hard to get you to think badly of yourself or less of yourself? Because he has a vested interest in you not being able to walk in faith and confidence and know that you are beloved of God. He's scared to death you're going to figure out that you really are loved by God. And that whether it's a matter, you know, none of us are great in our flesh, but Jesus has given us a new person, a new identity. A person, that born-again spirit is a person that's going somewhere for Jesus to do something, whatever it is, whether public or private, that doesn't matter. Whether it's exalted by man or not seen as important by man, that doesn't matter. Whatever it is, though, that you were born to do, I really want you to come to a place where you can actually love the born-again spirit that God gave you. Because once you get this, you wouldn't trade place with anyone on the earth. You wouldn't trade places with anyone. Not the richest person, not the smartest, not the most beautiful, not the most successful. You wouldn't. Once you know who you are, it is, I'll tell you one thing, when you begin to discover who you really are and who you were created to be and what you were created to do, you'll find it is the one thing on earth that gives you deep, fulfilling satisfaction. Because all this other stuff that people do in the earth is chasing after the wind. They chase after this and that, hoping it will give them value and fulfillment and respect and all this stuff. And you know what? If they get it, then they say, well, I thought I would feel better. I thought I would feel important. But you know what? That didn't do it. Now what do I go after? So they'll run after another. They'll chase the wind again. They'll chase another, the career or the, you know, whatever their deal is. But none of those things really fulfill with the fulfillment that your true identity. Your true identity, you'll find that you love who you really are in the heavenlies. But I don't want you to wait till heaven to do it. I want you to do it now, because when you get a hold of this, when you trade in the false identity for the real you, you'll be able to walk in confidence and boldness and faith, and you'll be able to fulfill your purpose much more easily. And it won't matter to you if nobody understands. You know, nobody understood for years. You know, my own husband didn't believe me when I said I was called to preach. But that's okay, because I knew. And I knew it. I knew enough about who I was. I knew God had called me. So it didn't matter who believed me or didn't believe me. I knew that I would do it. I knew that somehow it was God's deal. He would make a way. And here's the thing, you'll find that the one thing that will make you happy, you were designed to do the very things that are in your identity. And so as it starts to unfold, you'll find real joy. Like, this is what I was born to do. I remember one time God told me to do a thing, and I remember thinking, oh, I'm not good at that at all. But, you know, God will do it through me, so I guess He wants to do it. So I prayed into it. I had my friends pray. And I remember thinking, you know, this is not my gifting. I'm thinking off. I was really off. And when the day came, I spent the day. It was my first seminar, and I remember really not feeling like I was a teacher. And God gave me this, you know, like four sessions, or actually probably I think more than that. And I remember at the end of the day thinking, this is what I was born to do. The very thing I had honestly thought I would not be any good at. I thought, well, God is good, He'll do it through me, and He did. But I remember at the end of the day feeling like I had finally found a pair of shoes that fit me, and finding real joy in it, and enjoying this is who I am. This is part of who I am. And when you get that, whatever you are called to do, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. So I love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.